Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's Hurricane Hotline on the home of the U. AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2 WQAM. Driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com now. Here's Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Hurricanes, Joe Zagacki.
Hello once again, everybody, and welcome to the Manny Diaz Show. Joe Zagacki alongside University of Miami head coach Manny Diaz, my broadcast partner Don Bailey Jr. We have reached a bye week, halfway home, 5-1 for the University of Miami, coming off a nice win against Virginia. Great win, actually, 19-14, hard fought. Coach, congratulations at 5-1 at the halfway pole.
Thank you. Yeah, we had to grind that out. You know, we did a lot of things well. There's some things we could have done a lot better, and you got to give Virginia credit. You know, their players even said afterwards that they played harder in our game than they did at any other point throughout the year. That was a desperate team, and at the end, we did enough. We made enough good plays to find a way to win the game.
Coach, in reality, not much of a surprise when it comes to the score of this game. We saw this movie a couple years in a row here. Very similar games as far as points scored, points allowed. Just always been a tough opponent for the University of Miami.
Yeah, you know, I don't think anybody scored 20 points in 3 years. I think what was disappointing when we watched the film, I mean, we moved the ball. We had almost 450 yards of offense, and that's not been the story the last few years. We just couldn't finish drives. You know, we won turnovers 1-0. We dominated in explosive plays, and I think that's why we won the game. But our red zone performance is the reason why the game was close. It could have been, a different story if we'd have punched the ball in the end zone a couple times when we got down there. But you got to give them credit for bowing their necks and keeping us out.
You know, I would like to enter this into your conversation a little bit. And despite the red zone, I think one area you did win, and we talked about this at the beginning of last week, what to expect from Virginia. And I thought you were going to get a very focused Virginia team, one that was really zeroed in on their assignments. And I think you also won the mindset battle. They came in with a great mindset, but so did your team.
Yeah, you know, winning is a learned habit, you know, and we're learning how to win, you know, because obviously we hadn't done that with much consistency the two prior years. And that's a weekly process. I think the players understood that it was going to be a tough grind. And what I liked is that at halftime, we knew we weren't playing our best, but we were up 10-7. We were still winning the game. And we said, you know what, let's go out there and let's just play 30 minutes of football the way we want to play. And we really took the game over. We went 3-and-out back-to-back times on defense. We started driving the ball on offense. And we kind of had the game really at the point where we really could have blown it out. We had one poor drive on defense that made it close at the end. But I like the demeanor that we closed the game out with.
Manny, I don't want to let it slide by, but you go back-to-back physical weeks. Pitt, very physical, both sides of the football. Then you come back with UVA. They're a very physical team. It's like two NFL games back-to-back, and Miami held up. But you also really have dominated the fourth quarter as far as time of possessions those last two games. When you had to close it out, you were able to do that.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Even at the end there, we just gave Virginia the ball with 20 seconds where they really had no chance to do anything. So our guys are finding out, you know, what it takes to win a football game. And I'm not sure we'd have won that game a year ago. Right. You know, maybe we'd have found a way to lose it there at the end. And we're seeing it through. it's not always pretty, and we can do some things to make it better. But you play to win, and, you know, as what's been said, and I'm proud of our guys for doing that.
Got to be proud of your defense. You held Virginia to season lows. I'm not sure that people realize that. You held them to a season low in points, season low in total yards. They came in averaging over 400 yards a game. You kept them below that. In addition, they did get their quarterback back, and in the first half, they did play, I don't know, half a dozen quarterbacks, it felt like. From a stat standpoint, you did hold them to season lows.
Yeah, and if you look at the drive chart, you know, the first drive of the game, they threw the kitchen sink at us and went down there and got a touchdown. We had a couple chances to get off the field, and we didn't. But really, from that point on, we really shut them down. They didn't do a whole lot against us after that, and that's why really the one drive there in the fourth quarter was just was very disappointing, because really kind of we were really in control. You know, I mean, they were on 7 points for what felt like forever, and we felt like we could have ended the game with them not scoring any more than 7. So that's all part of learning how to be dominant and learning how to, you know, to really finish the game out, and that's something we got to do better of.
Well, you dominated the first series offensively, 2 plays and a big touchdown. Take us through that little series, 2 big catches by everybody, and then we'll get into some Mike Carley.
Yeah, you know, the opening play of the game, we felt like we could get a shot. Really, the first 2 plays, we felt like we could get a shot down the field. You know, we know we had been struggling to do that, and Virginia had been giving up a lot of explosive passing plays down the field, but it still took a couple of great plays. I mean, the catch by Will Mallory, it was a great throw by Derek, but the catch was really special, very toughly contested catch, and to kind of go up and moss the defensive back. And then a great play call from Rhett Lashley to isolate Mike Harley in a mismatch, and great protection, and Derek made a great throw. So bang, bang, it gave our offense a lot of confidence. We knew we could hit shots down the field now, and that ended up being a theme throughout the majority of the game.
You challenged your receivers during the weekend. It worked. Mark Pope came up with, I thought, maybe the best catch of his career, really fought for the ball hard. Wiggins had a heck of a catch on the sidelines. And then Mike Harley, 10 catches, looked really good and was a touchdown maker and a first down maker for you.
Yeah, it's funny what a thing confidence is, right? You know, and it felt like the group, once we started making plays, everyone in the group's confidence really started to rise, and I was proud of those guys. It's not easy to be challenged. It's not easy to be criticized. You've got to be vulnerable, but you also got to look into yourself and say, you know, what can I be doing to do better and to be better? And those guys did that, and they had a really good week of practice, and so they just had to go put it on tape that they could do it on game day, and I think once they got it going. Because they weren't just making good plays. I mean, some of those toe-tap plays along the sideline were extraordinary catches.
Coach, Brevin Jordan, 2 weeks in a row, he's not in the lineup, so you've got to start playing some freshmen. You know, Larry Hodges is a redshirt freshman. Dominic Mamorelli is a true freshman. They get on the field, and everybody wants to play as a freshman, but it's a little different deal once you get out there. And you can definitely see that those guys are giving great effort, but there's a big difference between a Brevin Jordan and a redshirt freshman and a true freshman.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, we miss Brevin, and it's good that we were able to win a couple games without him. But he's such a big part of our offense. But I think, to your point, you know, getting Dom and getting Larry out there and just getting them experience. I mean, that's the best teacher there is. You know, I mean, you got practice corrections, but then you get in the game and really see why the coaches make a point. Why you've got to put your hand here, you got to step with this foot, and that'll only make them better, which will only make us better.
Going forward, do you think a performance like the one your receivers had will be something that lights the fire for them? Sometimes perhaps guys don't know how good they are until they have it. Maybe part of your job is to coax it out of them. You can see it, but they just don't understand it.
That's right, and you hope it does have a kick-on effect going forward. But what I love is I came in the office the day after the game, and you know, around noon, and Mike Harley is in the indoor catching balls out of a jugs. You know, I mean, not 13 hours after the game ended. So, you know, that shows that he's just not sitting around, you know, proud of what he did. I mean, sure, he's certainly proud, but he's not satisfied. He knows that there's more out there, and that's the type of a mentality that you want your senior at any position to have, because that really will trickle down throughout the rest of the room.
But Manny, hasn't that been one of the challenges, is to teach this team the last couple years on the process of winning? And, you know, you've got them for 17 or 20 hours, no matter how you want to divide those numbers up, but it does take extra credit to get an A in a classroom, takes extra credit to get an A on the field.
That's exactly right. I mean, you've got to do more, and I think that's where we are benefiting from older leadership. You know, we've had a couple of years where some of our older guys have not been the best leaders, not set the tone for the young guys in the room. They've been more concerned a little bit about themselves, and we don't have that this year. We've got older guys that want to pour into the team, that want to make the younger guys better, follow their example, and Mike is definitely an example of that.
One of the weapons for Virginia was number four, Billy Kemp. He had averaged, was number one in the ACC in receptions, and I don't really think it's late in the game. I don't think he hurt you at all during the game. Was that by committee, or was that more to one guy? It looked like Al Blaze had a lot of the assignment.
It was by committee because the way they are in offense, you have no choice because they lined up in every formation with every shift and every motion imaginable. I mean, in the first half, I mean, it was unbelievable. You know, they didn't have a running back on the field half the time. They put tight ends at quarterback. They put quarterbacks at tight end. They had wide receivers line up, I mean, all over the place. I mean, it was very unsettling for our guys, and we really had to get them into halftime, sort of calm them down a little bit, you know, and sort of solve the riddle of all of Virginia's strange formations. I mean, I'm talking about things that I've not seen in all my years of coaching defense. So our guys did a nice job of that. I think the defense staff settled our guys down well at halftime, and we started stopping the run, and when you know, it's not complicated. Once you stop the run, you force someone to throw the ball, then I think that always favors us.
Coach, you talk about the multitude of quarterbacks that you face, but Armstrong, their starter, I'd like to remind people, he threw for 270 against Clemson and ran for almost 100 yards that day. He is well-versed at that position and is a true dual-threat guy. I thought we were done with that with them when Perkins left Virginia last year, but he seems like he stepped right in, and he's a threat.
He is, and it was really his feet that were as bothersome as anything. And you know, but again, I just, what they had all kinds of crazy alignments for him early on in the game, but his best friend was a run game, and when we were able to limit the run game, we had much, much more success on defense. But he's certainly a good player for them.
You know, I think maybe what's gone under the radar in this one is De'Ara King threw for 300 yards, over 300 yards. And I thought one of the more impactful throws in the game was the third quarter coming off the goal line where he sailed one right down the middle, beautiful spiral where Harley made that sliding catch. I thought that really ignited your offense, but he threw the ball well all night.
He really did, and some great throws on third down, to your point. And those are the plays that you have to have. I mean, just getting, you know, that drive, getting us off the goal line and getting us going on a long drive, it was critical. And sooner or later, your quarterback's going to have to make some plays. But that's what was so great tonight about him, or that night about him making those plays. And then the wideouts making some tough catches into some tight coverage when he put the ball right there on the money.
Manny, put on your defensive coordinator hat. 23 first downs by the Miami offense. What kind of pressure does that put on the opponent's defense?
Well, what you can see, it was a rainy night in Hard Rock, but it was as humid as I ever remember it in there. And you could just watch it. All you have to do is watch the Virginia players in the second half of the game. I mean, you know, one of their linebackers just starts throwing up between the third and fourth quarter. And our players are watching that. I mean, they see it, you know, and that's where we have the advantage of Green Tree Practice Field. And it is so hot when we practice every day out there. And what they're seeing now 2 weeks in a row is they're seeing the tempo start to wear people down. But you got to get first downs to do it. And sometimes what we found is that means making some big catches on third down to keep drives alive. And once you can do that, now you can come back to the, you know, sort of the body blows of the run game in the fourth quarter. And they just don't have the same fight in the fourth quarter they had early on.
Before we wrap up this segment, can you put into perspective what it means for your program right now? 5-1, halfway point, got the bye week, NC State coming up. But considering where everything started back in August or July to where you are right now, 5-1, you'll start the second half in second or third place.
Yeah, let's back it up even more, Joe. You know, let's go back to where we were in April and May, right, when no one knew we'd play a football season. You know, we didn't have a schedule on August 1st.
Right.
Think about it. We forget about that. We didn't have a schedule. So to be here, you know, the calendar will turn into November with us with only one loss, and that's at the number one team in the country. Our guys have earned the right to be relevant in November, and that's really in college football all you can ask for. You want to be relevant when the games are being played in November. Now, you know, we got to keep doing right. We got to stay healthy because that threat's always there. But I'm very proud of our players. I'm very proud of how resilient they've been. Our win this past weekend was the only win not by double digits. So we've done some really good things. We know that we can improve, though, and that's going to be really the critical part to improve to be able to handle this very challenging stretch we have in November.
All right, University of Miami head coach Manny Diaz, and we will continue with Coach Diaz right after this on the Manny Diaz Show.
Now back to Hurricane Hotline on the home of the U, AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2 WQAM, driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com now. Here's Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Hurricanes, Joe Zagacki.
Happy to welcome you back to the Manny Diaz Show. Joe Zagacki, Don Bailey Jr., University of Miami head coach Manny Diaz. Hurricanes have North Carolina State coming up. We'll look ahead to that one in a moment as we continue to reflect on a nice win against Virginia. But also, Coach, you do have a little extra time here the bye week. How do you spend that time? Is this a good time to self-scout, perhaps, going into North Carolina State?
It really is, and that's actually something that we've had our staff do on both sides of the ball and the kicking game is let's watch us and let's see how these remaining five opponents will see us, see where we're strong, see what things are giving us problems, and allow us to sit down with our players and have some conversations like, look, you know, this is what they see out of you, and these are the things that you're having a hard time with, and they're repeating, not a one-time thing. The way you defend this player, the way you run this route or whatever it is, and sometimes when you're able to group things together, you can, you know, create a narrative and tell a story that might unlock something in a player that he can see and really start to work on that. The player's tendency always is to remember their best plays and their positive plays, and you got to show them not just their worst plays, but the things that are recurring that they really need to get cleaned up.
Coach, what is the conversation you have with Amari Carter?
Well, Amari's got to change his game. You know, I mean, the guy would have been an All-American, you know, 20 years ago. But it's just... You know, he's not trying to hurt anybody. You know, he's playing tough. He's playing a brand of football that we all fell in love with. You know, the guy he hit is, you know, 36 inches off the ground, and he's got the crown of his helmet exposed. You know, but for Amari's safety and everybody else's, but he's too good of a player for us, and we need him on the field. Yeah. You know, so he's got to do a better job of what part of the body he targets, and he's got to keep his eyes up. You know, and I don't want to take any of the viciousness out of him and the toughness of who he is. But, you know, look, it's like anything else. It's like when you're in an NBA game or in a boxing match, you have to see how it's being refereed, and you got to change your style sometimes based off how they're blowing the whistle, and Amari's got to do that.
Does it change anything on how you use him in a game? Because Don and I were talking the other night, it's like a basketball player who gets in early foul trouble. You know, do you bring him in later in the game, or is there some other way that you try to create a situation to use him?
I think we have to just trust him. You know, I mean, I think Amari gets it. You know, I always say this, and you guys know, I mean, those plays are happening at 1 million miles an hour, and it looks so different on slow motion replay than it does when it's out there. And I think there is a... Like I always say, there's a play we're trying to take out of the game. I don't think that's Amari's play. I don't think that's what the rule was invented for. But at the same time, I think he can make some adjustments and just change with, you know, his target, where he's hitting, and keep his eyes up to do it.
Coach, you've been outstanding on special teams to date. Unfortunately, you had a blocked field goal. Take us through what happened on that, and how do you get that repaired?
Yeah, we had to repair it during the game, you know, because Virginia came hard after the next time we went to kick as well. And it was just simply a fundamental, you know, for one of our guys. A breakdown wasn't an assignment issue, but, you know, guys got to get a hand in a gap and had two hands in one gap and not a hand in the outside gap, and allowed, they've got really long guys, and that allowed a guy to kind of, you know, sneak in there and get a paw, and it just to partially deflect the ball. So, you know, disappointing for us. We practice live field goal rush and field goal protection every week in practice. But it happened, and to the players' credit, at least they got it fixed. But that's a thing that you don't ever want to see that anytime during the year.
You had some very nice praise after the game for Gilbert Frierson, who even volunteered to play safety. I told Don the other night, I remember the first time I met him, he said, "I'm going to be a defensive back all the time." And I said, "You're going to outgrow that position, kid." And so now he's a striker, but he's a guy that does have, probably still has good coverage skills, despite the fact that he's, I don't know, he's 6'2 now, 6'3, 6'2?
Well, he plays a hybrid position anyway, so he's still got some DB in him, and that's what we want that position to be, right? Someone who's got some DB flexibility to him. He does some stuff on our third down package where he'll play some deep coverage, you know, concepts. But to me, that was more about team. Mm-hmm. You know, here's a guy that says, you know, I'll do whatever it takes, coach. We just need to win this football game. And for him to come up, you know, be like that shows how much Miami means to him and how much he wanted to see us win and just help the team out any way he could.
Coach, D. Wiggins was 3 catches for 36 yards, but Coach Lashley called the long shot to him, and it was 50-50 ball. You're either going to catch it, not, or you're going to get that interference. He got the call. That's as good as a reception.
It was huge, and, you know, really just the confidence to be able to call that play. You know, it was a slant and go to D, and their corner really played it really well. Didn't bite on the slant, which is pretty crazy for it being third, a crucial third down and 8. But Derek put the ball right where it needed to be, and their guy panicked, which a lot of times defensive backs do on balls down the field, and didn't make a play for the ball and barged into D. But I don't know if we throw that throw if D or Mark or Mike don't make the plays that they made in the first 3 quarters of that game. So a credit to those guys for making those plays, for Coach Lashley to trusting him to make another one, and for Derek to put the ball out there.
You know, we touched a little bit on these long drives you've had. It's not the first time you had long drives, but the back-to-back long drives the other night. The thing that I think really is important also is the execution. You can't put together 16 plays in a row if you're not executing at a high level. And I think your execution, this offense, really should be commended, because you can't do that if you're not able to have confidence that your team is going to execute.
No, that's exactly right. And that's what I said. We had... There were a lot of positives in terms of how we played on offense. Just finishing the drives and not settling for 3, getting 7 would have made the game look a lot different on the scoreboard. But I have to point something else also. When you go on long drives, sometimes what gets you is that penalty.
Right.
That's right.
And we've done a great job the last 2 weeks. We've gotten our penalties way down. We've only had 1 pre-snap penalty each of the last 2 games. You know, during a play, something's going to happen. You know, you may be getting after a guy and get called for holding or whatever. You know, you don't want those things, but, you know, the other guys are playing too. Sometimes a penalty happens. But the ones that we really have been working to avoid are false starts, offsides, you know, those type of self-inflicted wounds. And we've cut those out in a major way the last 2 weeks. And that's what allows those long drives to occur.
Coach, the greatest teams in UM history have had a stable of running backs, and it looks like you're creating that here, and that there's always room for another great running back, but the way that you're dividing up the carries and the playing time, it's going to benefit all of those guys in the long run.
Well, it makes it, you know, like I said, we're going into a big run here in November. Keep everybody fresh. You know, running back is a collision position. Those guys, not just the carries they had the other night, the blitz pickup, you know, Virginia blitzed, right, you know, a high percentage of the time, and you know, that's an inside linebacker running into those guys, you know, just about every play. So the ability to keep those guys fresh helps them in pass protection. And it does help them make some runs there in the third and fourth quarter when you need it. And the defense, they're not subbing, so they're getting worn down. And they get tired of seeing a new face in there. Holy cow, where'd you come from? So I think those guys are embracing, you know, the role that they can all play and the way they can all help each other out.
You do have North Carolina State coming up from Carter-Finley Stadium. They pride themselves on, at least Dave Dorn wants them to be a hand-in-the-ground type of program. What do you see from North Carolina State? They did lose a quarterback, so it's, again, another game where you're going to see multiple quarterbacks.
Yeah, they did. You know, they played with a true freshman against North Carolina who made some really good plays. They've got some good wideouts that can make plays down the field. They have a good offensive system. They have been impressive on offense through the first half of the year. Now, defensively, if you remember our West Virginia game back in 2016, the same defensive coordinator was there. They operate out of a 3-down front and drop everybody, bring everybody, bring some guys. You know, they kind of run the whole gamut on defense. But the thing that stands out is they play very hard. They'll have a bye like us. NC State is always plays very hard at home. You know, Carter-Finley Stadium is always a great location in our conference to play. So we expect a great game Friday night in national television. They'll be highly energized. And as we found out this year and every year, everybody wants to beat Miami. You know, so we will approach this game like we do every other game in our league. We'll expect it to be a back-and-forth affair. There'll be nothing easy about it. And ultimately, the team that we know protects the football and makes the most explosive plays will have a chance to win the game.
Coach, it's almost been like Miami's been hexed coming off of bye weeks. How are you going to treat this week any different? You talked about the self-scouting, but I'm talking about practice itself and preparation and getting the guys ready for the final run of the season.
Yeah, we've lost some games after bye weeks, you know, and we've gone and analyzed that. Every bye week you treat a little bit differently because where you are in the season, you know, in terms of the rest that your players need. But the plans we've used for our practices through the bye have been the plans that have been around through all the top programs throughout the years. We've lost some games after bye weeks because we've had quarterbacks throw three interceptions, and you're not going to beat anybody when you do that. So our guys, you know, will understand the urgency. It's really not a complete bye because we do play on a Friday, and we have the unusual, you know, schedule next Tuesday with Election Day. We don't practice on Election Day, so that'll be a little bit of a different disruption to a normal game week schedule, but for a good reason. So they'll be dealing with the same thing, and like I said, our guys will be excited to play Friday night on national TV.
Yeah. Election Day, elections, voting, that's something that you've made a priority inside the program.
Yeah, you know, for a lot of our guys, this is their first ever, you know, election where they're eligible to vote just by age. So that should be an exciting time for any American. It is what it means to be a part of a democracy, what makes us the greatest country on the planet. And so I'm proud of our guys to have the opportunity to, you know, the fact we are 100%, you know, registered to vote. And we're getting our guys, you know, through early voting, and some will vote on Election Day. But it's important for them to know that they are part of the democratic process that makes our country so great.
Manny, Joe brought up early on in the show about where we are in this season, but in getting to this point, you've talked about it throughout the whole year. Do the young men understand how much they've accomplished just to get to this point off the field? You know, the wins and losses are what we're talking about football-wise, but to be able to get here and to be able to, the sacrifices that they've made, how important it's been and what an example it's going to be for many people many years to come.
I think they're aware, especially in the context of how many people told them that they couldn't do it in the summer. That there's no way that we'd get this far. There's no way we'd play a season. How college students, you know, you can't put them in a bubble. You know, it'll never happen. But the story's still only half written. I think they're aware of that. I think they're aware of how relentless the virus is. And I think maybe when it's, you know, I think the story won't be fully told until we really get to the end of this coronavirus pandemic. And who knows how, you know, months or years that will be to really see what we were up against and what these young men were really up against. And it's going to be... I think the respect we have for them now will even increase when we look at the enormity of where they were up against and how they were able to persevere through it.
You know, I want to wrap up the show this way and kind of maybe go back to something that you touched on with the media last week. We didn't talk about it on our show, but you had players come in like De'Ara King and Quincy Roche, and recruiting is coming up. And talk a little bit about your culture. You did have players pick your program. And they're picking your program because of what you're building.
They're picking our program because of who we are. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with you there. And that was very important for those guys to come see who we are. And a lot of that is the way that we work. A lot of that is Dave Feely in our weight room. And that we're here for the right reasons. You know, we have guys that want to work hard. They want to succeed. They want to be pushed. They want to be coached hard. Because Miami's not an easy place to play. You're going to get held to a pretty high standard here. And you got to want that. And I'm really proud of the guys that we have. You know, you build a better program by adding better people. And we always think better people in terms of talent. That's certainly a part of it. But getting better people, more like-minded people, we figured that would be a bit, you know, help our level of success. And through the first half of the season, that has proven to be true.
All right, Coach. Congratulations on the 5-1 start. Great way to go. And we're going to have a heck of an adventure ride here in the second half of the season.
That's right. It's going to be fun.
All right, that's University of Miami head coach Manny Diaz. We will continue on the show right after this.
Now back to Hurricane Hotline on the home of the U. AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2 WQAM. Driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com now. Here's Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Hurricanes, Joe Zagacki.
Jonathan Patke, Hurricanes special teams coach as well as Strikers coach, joins us at 7 o'clock. Roddy Jones from the ACC Network joins us at 7:20 to talk about the ACC. Big week in the ACC. Coming up, Boston College will be at Clemson, Notre Dame at Georgia Tech, Virginia Tech at Louisville, and Virginia plays host to North Carolina. Miami's in third place right now behind Clemson and Notre Dame in the standings. Hurricanes are 5-1. Only loss to the number one ranked team in the nation. They defeated Louisville handily. They beat Florida State without a problem. Did people expect anything different?
No.
I mean, 5-1, only loss to the number one team in the country.
Right. I mean, I don't know how you can expect anything different. If anybody, you know, I'm sure that some people thought there would be a chance of an undefeated record at this point, Joe. But you look at the halfway point and – you realize that you're fortunate to have De'Eriq King as your quarterback. This is a young man that has certainly made a lot of plays. He had a couple games where he threw a couple picks, but, I mean, that's normal. But the overall, he has helped the running game. Let's say it this way. He's a part of the running game. He got the help that he needed. The receivers played to their expectations last week, and it helped Miami win a football game. I think defensively, with the amount of people that were lost off of this unit coming into this season, defense has exceeded my expectations. And, you know, that may be a little bit of a strong statement to some people, but, you know, you don't have a Russo. You don't have three linebackers, 2 4-year starters, and one guy that started in Romeo Finley for 2 years. You know, the loss on the defensive front, you've got two new defensive tackle starters. You've got two new defensive ends that are starters, and they've done a fun. And then you've had Amari Carter that's been out, you know, a couple of football games, and then they performed. I think that Miami is exactly where you would think they would be. I think they're better than what you thought they would be, because I think a lot of people, if you sat down and analyzed it, thought there would be a chance that you would have lost to a Louisville or a Florida State or a Pitt, and you would have lost one of those. You would have lost one of those games. And you and I know better than anybody that what happened against Virginia on Saturday night is the same thing that has happened the last 10 times those teams have played. It's been close. Miami had lost 5, and they had won 5. And Virginia had lost 5, and they had won 5. You know, if that was the rubber match last week, that was exactly what I thought it would be. Now, Virginia's quarterback situation obviously was not what I anticipated. But overall outcome, I think you've got to be very proud of your Miami Hurricanes.
Virginia, we look back at that for a moment. They're always an interesting team because they're almost one of those teams that you can make a case either A, they play above their athletic ability, or B, they've got to do more with less. And I don't know if either is true, but they are versatile. For example, going into the game last week, Noah Taylor, who somehow got matched up on Mike Harley. But you would love to have a guy like Noah Taylor who going into the game last week was one of the only players in the country with at least 20 tackles, 5 tackles for losses, 2 sacks, and 2 pass breakups to show his versatility. So they have some interchangeable parts that I think made it difficult for Miami. Yet, that being said, I don't know if anybody realizes, De'Eriq King in the first quarter had 4 passes over 20 yards, over 25 yards.
And Joe, he was 9 for 9. He was perfect at the end of the first quarter. And you know, I think when people look at Pitt, people look at Louisville, people look at Virginia, you know, Manny Diaz mentioned this a couple weeks ago, the Miami arrogance, that you're Miami, because I guess the name Miami or what has happened historically, that you're just going to go out and steamroll these people, and it's not going to happen. When you go down, and let's just stick with Virginia because that's fresh in our mind. I would say that their offensive line is certainly every bit as capable as Miami's offensive line. They've got an Outland Trophy candidate at center. So does Miami. They've got tackles, actually, that are more experienced than Miami's left tackle was. And their right tackle is about as experienced as Jared Williams is. And the guards, both of the guards were more experienced than Miami. And you go look, let's go to the wide receiver spot. Their slot receiver, that young man had more catches than our entire unit coming into the game. Mike Harley has a career day of 10 catches, 170 yards, and 1 touchdown. Billy Kemp had done that average every single game. Miami cut him in half. He was an average of 9. He had 2 10 catch games coming into the Miami game and had averaged 9 catches every game. Miami cut him in half. They minimized him to 50% of his catch production. So there's nowhere that you go along and you look at Virginia and you say Miami is heads and tails above as far as a unit goes. Now, individual players, yes, but you couldn't say that at the receiver spot with a straight face. Heck, they had the freshman that did not play for them was leading the nation with 23 yards a catch. So, you know, and you go coaching. Bronco Mendenhall won 10 games a year at BYU before he got to Virginia. And I'll remind you, Virginia was in the Orange Bowl last year and was in the ACC championship game. So, you know, I go through it and I look and I'm happy Miami won. Is it how you think Miami should win? I don't know. They had a lot of people carrying the football, and I can just say this: thank God the receivers stepped up and played a game that they say, not Don Bailey says or Joe Zagay says, that they played up to their capabilities, and it was just in time.
Virginia played this crazy game on offense in the first half, where if you ask about anybody, they would tell you, man alive, did they have any more gadgets left in the playbook? And you can look at that two ways. One, maybe they thought they had to trick Miami. I've never been a proponent of trying to out-trick teams. But as Coach Diaz said, Miami had a tough time getting their cleats in the ground because they did keep them off balance. All that being said, all the formations they threw at the University of Miami, all the different quarterbacks, the Hurricanes still held them, as we mentioned with Coach Diaz, to their fewest yards and their fewest amount of points.
Well, the good news about that is Coach Diaz was right in the fact that he said that they threw everything at Miami, but that's what they've done every single time. The guy that they have as their offensive coordinator is well-schooled at doing what he does, and that is formation you to death, confuse you to death, give you all kinds of eye candy, all kinds of movement, do everything that needs to be done to make you have to study tape all day and all night long as a coordinator, and then make it tough on the opponent. Miami was able to hold their own against them. They held Virginia. You know, if you look at the quarterback now, Brennan Armstrong was their leading rusher at 91 yards. That's basically 3 yards more than what Brennan Armstrong rushed for against Clemson. I think he was 89 yards or 87 yards rushing against Clemson, the number one team in the country, and he threw for 270 yards against Clemson. Miami held him to 181. Now, it's unfortunate that Miami didn't get more sacks. That was something that was not up to par on what we've seen with one, and they only had a couple tackles for loss. But you look at this statistically and compare it to what Virginia did against Clemson, Miami came out way ahead, and I think you brought up a point with Coach Diaz about how much under the average that Clemson was than where they were coming into the game.
Hurricanes going into the game were 12 for 17 in the red zone with touchdowns. They did not finish drives off the other night. Settled for they were 2 for 3 for field goals. Had they finished those drives off, they would have won this game in a much easier fashion.
Virginia's not going to let you do that.
No, Virginia's very good in the red zone.
You know, I just think they're an underrated football team. Yeah. I really do. I think that having seen them play, has there been one time that in the last decade that you and I have either been on the team plane flying up there or gotten to the stadium early and talked about this? We dread this game. We have dreaded this game for every coach that has been here since Miami's been in the ACC. And you dread it because they just match up well. They're big, they're strong, they're powerful. And how about, why can't we say they're a very good football team? They've won the ACC Coastal more recently than Miami has.
I think people feel like Miami's going to use one of your words, should steamroll these teams, and that's how, they're not steamrolling anybody until they have years of recruiting classes and years of continuity, because the ACC is putting out some darn good players. There are good players everywhere, not just in Dade and Broward County. There are good football players throughout the country. North Carolina has a bevy of skill players that you would die for. Wide receivers and running backs makes them a very formidable opponent, not only for Miami later, but Notre Dame plays them in about 3 weeks. Virginia gets them on Saturday. Carolina, plus the quarterback. Carolina's got a load of very good offensive players that could play for anybody in the country.
I agree with you. And I mean, if you go down each team, and let's just go back to Virginia, they had 11 players from the state of Florida. They came down and cherry-picked kids from this region that fit their model, and they've gotten a lot of production out of them. The days of anybody dominating the ACC are over until somebody unseats Clemson. The last team from the Atlantic Coast Conference to win a national championship was Florida State before Clemson. That was, 6 years ago, I guess it was, 6 or 7 years ago. Since then, it's been all Clemson, and it has changed. And Georgia Tech's been to the conference championship game. Miami's been to the conference championship game. Virginia's been to the conference. Everybody's been. And so it's a very evenly matched conference. And we forget, and you have to remind yourself, that you've got new offensive line coach, new running backs coach, new wide receivers coach, new offensive coordinator. You've got a new offense being implemented. And maybe what we've seen is we've seen some of the best things this offense can do, but because it's still so early, we just haven't seen the best it all can do at one time. But at the end of the day, Rhett Lashley put together a heck of a day. Miami, when they needed to close out the game, they held the football for over 9 minutes and 30 seconds in the fourth quarter. That's textbook. They were very good on third down, 8 of 17. They won time of possession. You don't think of that because this name of this offense is a power spread offense. You don't think of that. Well, they won the time of possession because that really is the game that what? Virginia wants to play, and you beat them at their own game.
Okay, when we come back, Jonathan Patke joins us. We'll talk a little bit about the special teams and the strikers. Also in the next hour, Roddy Jones from the ECC Network will be with us as we continue on the Hurricane Hotline.
Vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.